All right, 681. Hope you meet me here. I'm going to be there. I want all of you to be there, too. I will meet you in the morning over in that church on Eastern Gate up there in heaven. Of course, there's a literal one down here, so there's kind of a play on the words here a little bit, but I want to meet you up there in heaven. I want to meet you there at that Eastern Gate, if we want to say it, where we'll meet the Lord together. All right, let's stand as we sing. Number 681, if you can. Number 681.
New wine, there, and marriage supper of the Lamb.
to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and to meet others who have already gone or lingering over there right now waiting for us to come, it's going to be a grand time. And it's just going to be the beginning of eternity in a blessed way. That game ended in overtime, so they got a little extra time, but you know what? We'll have more than overtime. We'll have eternity with the Lord. Jason, you got something for us? Okay. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. Now, Jason, I thought you should have gone up on the end there. Now I belong to Him. All right. Anybody need one of these charts here? Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven chart?
I didn't have enough last week. I think I have enough now. Anybody else want one? Need one? Can you give that to Kathy? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, a few more words I want to say about this matter of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The word kingdom of heaven comes up in the Gospel of Matthew and nowhere else. Just in the Gospel of Matthew is where it's found. And I think it's interesting. It should be found in the Gospel of Matthew only. And I think that's on purpose. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to see it this way. The kingdom of God stretches from eternity to eternity, and it has everything that pertains to God's plan and will for the ages and so forth is all found in there. From creation to John the Baptist until God is all and in all someday when everything's turned back over to him. But within that kingdom of God, you've got this mystery that the Lord is revealing here in our passage, Matthew 13, called the kingdom of heaven. And you'll notice it kind of is inside the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is. And then within the kingdom of heaven information that is given to us by the Lord, I believe is also seen the church age is in there. Also, the millennial reign of Christ is inside there. So there are times when you're going to have to make a differentiation between the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and the church of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom age to come. And you got to keep the passages separate as they apply to each one of these things. The big problem in the Christian world today is a wrong interpretation of Matthew chapter 13. And I'll just give you an illustration. Go into chapter 13 and go over to verse 33. Here's an example of wrongly dividing the Word of God, wrongly interpreting something here, because one is coming to the Bible with a preconceived idea of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, leaven in the Bible is always something that's evil. And a woman involved with it is also something evil as well. And but what they want to say is the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, and the leaven here is good. The leaven to them is the gospel, that which is good. And the gospel will eventually permeate the whole world, and the church will be triumphant someday, winning the world to the Lord. That's how they interpret this. I interpret it differently. In fact, quite opposite. And that is that the kingdom of heaven, which really is not just the church, but what was going on when Christ is here, I believe also what he's doing with the nation of Israel. Oh, the church does fit in there to a certain extent, but not primarily. The leaven, of course, I believe is false doctrine that enters into the kingdom of heaven. And it permeates the whole kingdom of heaven, including what we even see going on in the church. Leaven in the church as well. We're told to get the leaven out of the church. It's just something how that in one place here, you can have men teaching one thing in one direction when it really should be interpreted in a different direction. Because they're misunderstanding this whole passage here that the Lord is giving us in Matthew chapter 13. Now, don't normally do this, but I will stop for a moment. Does anybody have a question? For those listening on the internet, I'll repeat the question if somebody has one. Anybody have a question on that? All right. then no questions. We want to take a look at this mystery of the kingdom that the Lord talks about here. I'm going to start in verse 10 in Matthew chapter 13. I've already done this in one message before, but there's just a few more things I want to point out. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the parable he just gave them, which is the well-known parable of the sower and the four grounds upon which the seed fell. We will pick up with this when we get further along. So why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, and now the Lord speaks here. Here's his reason for talking like this. For up till now, and the first 12 chapters of Matthew, the Lord is very straightforward about, look, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent his disciples out to preach it and to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's going to say something in here that he hasn't talked like this before. And he says this, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Up till now, he's been preaching the kingdom of heaven. Now he's going to start speaking unto them in parables, and he's going to teach them some mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And his own disciples are saying, why have you started talking like this? And he says, because they don't want what I have for them, but you do. So I'm going to give you even more. And from them, I'm going to take that which they think they know, and they're not going to have even that when it's all over, as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Yes, he's made the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk. But the men who should be responding to that and bowing the knee to Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledging him to be the rightful king of Israel and the Messiah promised to come won't have him. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not, he says. So I'm going to speak unto them in dark sayings, in parables. And then he says, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith. Now, if you have a center column reference, most likely it's going to say Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. So you can kind of look, see if your Bibles have anything like that on it, because that's what he's doing. He's quoting from Isaiah and saying what Isaiah spoke hundreds of years before I came, Jesus is saying, it's going to take place. What's going to take place? By hearing ye shall hear. I'm in the middle of verse 14. By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, now, those are strange words, aren't they? I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. So take your Bible, go back there, and don't say, well, okay, I'll just listen to it. No, I want you to go there. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. He said, well, I can't find it. All right, well, you look for it. All right, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Now, I know the verses that we just read from the Lord's mouth are verses 9 and 10. Let me just read them for you so you see them. And he said, I'm in Isaiah 6, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. But look at the very first verse of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, and this would be Isaiah saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. and his train filled the temple. All right, I need to stop right here, and I want keep your hand right there and go back to Matthew chapter 13. I want to read something else to you right now so that as I read through Isaiah 6, I can say some things. Back to Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now notice this next verse. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men, I believe that's men like Isaiah. All right? That's a man like Isaiah the Lord's talking about. What's he going to say about these men, these prophets and righteous men? Have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. All right, back to Isaiah chapter 6. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I mean, Isaiah's seeing this. What is this that Isaiah is seeing? The Lord back there in Matthew 13, when he's here on earth, he's saying, look, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I should be sitting on the throne of David. I am the king. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, why are you talking in parables now? Because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. What do they see and see not? What do they hear and hear not? The same things that the prophets wrote about in the Old Testament, who wanted to see these things but couldn't. Blessed are your eyes and your ears because you're standing right in front of the king himself, whom Isaiah saw. Could only see, you know, from way back. Oh, Isaiah would love to be standing here today, the Lord would be saying there. Boy, if Isaiah could be standing here today, he would be really blessed beyond holding it in. Can you just imagine if Isaiah was still alive when the Lord came? Wow, this is the same one that I saw when I wrote in Isaiah 6. I know they didn't have chapters back then, but Isaiah was in chapter 6. I wrote about, now my eyes are seeing it. Oh, you Pharisees and Sadducees, what's the matter with you guys? You read the scriptures. You've heard them. You hear, but you don't really hear. You see the blind made to see and the lame to walk, but you really don't see. Because you're not really wanting to see what Isaiah talked about and what I want to teach you. You just want to see what you want to see, and that's it. You want to see someone who's going to throw off the yoke of the Roman Empire and set Israel up on top of all the nations. That's what you want. You don't want your hearts cleansed. You don't want a Savior. So I'm going to speak in parables. I'm going to tell you about the word that goes out, how it falls on four different grounds. All right, I'm not about to do that right now. I'm just trying to show you. This is why the Lord speaks that way. Why doesn't the Lord just come right out and make it real clear? Why is he speaking in parables? And only we, the disciples, are going to understand this. Because lest I convert them without really having their eyes open and their ears open. By the way, the Lord's not going to save you unless you really want to be saved. And really see your need to be saved. Just joining a church isn't going to do it for you. Just having some scripture trivia knowledge is not going to do it for you. Didn't do it for the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's not going to do it for you either. You need to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which is how the word of God's going to go out and save the sinner. A lot of people are going to hear that same gospel and are not going to respond to it, but some will. Back in Isaiah chapter 6, Verse 2. All right, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. What kind of creatures must they have been, huh? Wow. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, you know what? It's obviously a vision because it isn't happening right now. And another angel calls back, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they just fill heaven with this. One cried unto another. I think there's no mistake about why there's holy, 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 three of them. Three holies. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Now, the prophet talks. Then said I, that's Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What I want you to see there is Isaiah, he knew what the response ought to be by any man. I am unclean. You know, as the Pharisees and Sadducees stood there before the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they should have said? We are an unclean nation. We are wicked people. Oh yeah, we keep the Sabbath. And we've even found fault with you, Jesus, on doing some things on the Sabbath day against our rules and traditions. Don't you know we have our religion? Instead, they should be saying, we are unclean. And we stand in the midst of a people, a whole country, Israel, of unclean lips. We need to be cleaned inside. That's what the response was when Isaiah saw the king, and it should be the response back here in Matthew 13. But hearing, they hear not. Seeing, they see not. Now, let's bring this down to the church age, okay? Because the church age is inside this kingdom of heaven, but it is not the kingdom of heaven, but it's within it, all right? And the same things are happening even in the church age. People hear about Jesus. They have knowledge about him. But have any of them said like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You hardly ever hear that. In fact, the gospel message goes out without even appealing to that need. Now, why is it that so many people say they're born again and they live still the same way they've always lived? There's no change. I mean, when Isaiah saw this, guess what? He said, I see a problem here. It's me. You know, when the gospel goes out, those who hear the gospel should not be saying, oh yeah, this is a good religion. I kind of like this. You know what they should be saying? I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. I need to be saved. Inside I need salvation. And so back in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, why are you going through all this? I just want you to see. Blessed are you. Because you see things that prophets and righteous men long ago saw but couldn't quite grab a hold of. And you're seeing it being fulfilled. And you are, even to this day, whenever you see somebody get saved and you see the change in their life, you're seeing something that even the prophets didn't fully understand. Isaiah says, I'm unclean. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Amen. That's what needs to take place as we preach the gospel. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah says, Then said I, Here am I, send me. God, send me. People need to hear this message. What message? That there is a king who's holy, 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 whom I saw myself before as unclean, and thank God he cleansed my lips, purged my sin. Now I need to tell other people about it. Verse 9, and he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. See, this is exactly what Jesus is up against. Isaiah is up against it. Even Jesus himself is up against it. And guess what? So are we. We're up against it. How many people have you told the gospel message to and they've not gotten saved? I would venture to say most of you would say most of the people I give the gospel to cannot understand it or see it. Few there be that find it. And that's a statement right out of the Lord's own mouth. Not many people receive this. So the Lord says, you tell them. You go ahead and tell them. The heart of this people's fat. Their ears are heavy. They shut their eyes lest they see. They close their ears. They're dull of hearing. Lest they understand with the heart, be converted and be healed. Verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long do we do this? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Judgment. That's judgment. You just keep telling them. Keep telling them till the judgment comes. Verse 12, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. By the way, do you think there's a great forsaking of anything today? Is there a great forsaking? Now, I know this is primarily for Israel and, you know, and the way they respond and everything. But here we are in the church age. It hasn't changed much. The gospel still is forsaken. And sadly, men who do know the truth are forsaking preaching it and saying it the way it needs to be said. When I was a child, I heard some men, some evangelists preach very strong, good gospel messages to make the people say, I got a problem here. I'm lost and need to be saved. Some of those same men no longer preach like that today. They preach a social gospel. They preach an easy believism. There's no convicting messages, I should say, convicting sermons about sin. And yet an invitation is given for the people who have never even been convicted of sin to trust Christ. For what? Wow. But verse 13, thank God for this. But yet in it shall be a tenth. One tenth. We refer to this as a remnant, okay? And it comes up like this throughout the prophets, and I believe even in our New Testaments. There are few that are going to follow the truth. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that few there be that go along with this thing? You know, and if it were the other way around, where are the nine tenths, sorry? Almost like those 10 lepers, one was healed, and they went away, and the Lord says, where are the nine? One turned around to thank the Lord. Where are the nine? But yet in it shall be a tenth. And it shall return. Oh, amen for that. And shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I'm glad it ends with this, you know, because it kind of ends with, oh boy, I'm going to preach and they're not going to listen. Nobody's going to listen to it. But the Lord says, but there will be a tenth. Isaiah, one tenth will listen. And that's about the way it's been ever since. And that's why back now in Matthew 13, the disciples have to ask, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And verse 11, the Lord says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. If I could do this, I would say the disciples represent the tenth. All right? And the others, to them it is not given, is the nine-tenths. But verse 16 and 17 say this, folks. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. One more place, would you go to Daniel? The last chapter of Daniel. The last chapter of Daniel. Now, I hope you know Daniel. Great prophet. Okay. He gave the prophecy of the 70 weeks, one of which still needs to happen, 7 years yet to go. And that will take place in the tribulation time. Daniel also talked about the rise of Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet as well. He spoke of things that are going to take place. He talked about the four world empires. The fourth one would rise and fall and come back again. It's still to happen. It comes down to the end of the book. And you see some similar things here. Many prophets have sought to look at these things and couldn't see them. Look at what the Lord does. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Believe that's Israel. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Tribulation time. Even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. That's at the end when the Lord comes back to deliver them. Every one that shall be found written in a book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Believe you got the great white throne in there. I believe you have the resurrection of the saved in there as well. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, and here's what I want you to see. Shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Has that happened? Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. That would equal 3.5 years. I believe halfway through the tribulation time, the worst is to come. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Folks, I wonder, what do you think about this, you know, in your own mind? If Daniel, at that time when he wrote, I know he has understanding now, like, he didn't have then. But if he could, right after that verse, have been given John's book of the Revelation, you think that might have helped? Think that might have helped? Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. I believe the Lord, even in Matthew 13, was beginning to open it up. He says, I'm going to show you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to speak to you in parables. Blessed are your ears and your eyes, because you're going to hear and see things that many prophets wanted to see but couldn't. And you do sit here today, those of you listening, if you've got a Bible in front of you, and if you have a King James Bible in the English, I believe you have preserved words of God, you are blessed. You are blessed. Even more than Daniel was back when he was alive, because you know and see things that he was saying, Lord, I see these things, but I don't understand it. And the answer is almost comes back to Daniel. I know Daniel, but just seal up the book. Seal it up. That's all I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you any more. So as to say, okay. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I believe you can put yourself right in that group today. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, you've heard that in the book of Revelation. In the book of Matthew, the Lord's going to talk about it in chapter 24. The abomination of desolation set up, the Antichrist. He's going to refer back to Daniel. See, it's almost like as if the Lord's saying, Daniel sealed up the book, now we're starting to open it up again. We want you guys to see some things that even Daniel couldn't see. There shall be 1,290 days. That's like a little over 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. That's 3.7 years. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Oh, wonderful promise to Daniel. You know, it's almost the same promise that God gave to Isaiah at the very end of chapter 6 when he says, but there will be a tenth. There will be a tenth. There will be a remnant. Daniel, I know you can't quite understand these things, but you'll be standing in your lot someday. Even Job talks about it. Though after worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon this earth. The promise is always there. They may not have always understood it, but it's going to happen. And you know what, folks? You and I sit here, blessed among all of them, because to us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been opened up. We see them. It's sad that some can see some of these things as we will proceed through the parables now. Of course, I'm done now, I believe, talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We're now going to look at the parables that Jesus gives. There are 7 of them. Isn't that an interesting number? 7 parables. And he's saying this to the crowd, no longer just to the Jews. Here's another thing as I close this up here. He gets in a boat and he pulls away from the shore so as to be away from them. They can't touch him. You know what? The kingdom of heaven is a time period in which Jesus has gone back to heaven. And the things that are transpiring while he's gone. And some of these parables speak directly to that. There are some amazing good things that you get to see and hear that the prophets of old. Daniel, seal the book up. Seal it up until the end of the days. Oh, don't worry, Daniel, you'll have your lot. You'll be there. Don't worry. You'll be okay. Isaiah, you go preach. They won't listen. You preach to them anyway. But Isaiah, there will be a tenth. There will be a remnant. Folks, the teaching of a remnant is a biblical doctrine, okay? I hope you consider yourself among the remnant. of those who have believed and have stood before a God that the seraphim say, holy, holy, holy. And you've said of yourself, I'm in trouble with this God. I'm in trouble as I stand here before this Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, I see he paid for my sin. I see that his blood was shed for me. And in grace, I can, like the coals that cleansed Isaiah, made his lips clean to preach to the people, I can be cleansed by the blood of this one who died for me on the cross. Wow. The whole world is not going to say, can't wait to hear this. It's going to be a tenth. One tenth is going to believe it. If you've done that, blessed are your ears, blessed are your eyes, for you see things that many prophets and righteous men wanted to look into but couldn't. And that's not something that's foreign. That's not a, boy, that's really nebulous. That's cosmic. No, no, no. You know that even the angels of heaven want to look into these things that are going on. They are learning all the time more about what God has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do. They desire to look into those things too. So you say, well, I haven't learned it all. No, and you know what? You never will. You never will. Well, that's not very hopeful. Oh, if you ever did learn it all, guess what? You'd have to tell God to sit over and give room for you to sit next to him, because you'd have to be God. And you won't be. You'll never be exactly like God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? There's good things. So keep studying your Bible. Keep enjoying the great things you learn about Christ every day. It's better and better all the time. It gets, one of the pastors I used to study under would say, it gets gooder and gooder all the time. Gooder and gooder. His English was wrong, but that's okay. Maybe it is right. I don't know. I have to ask my wife. All right. It gets gooder and gooder all the time. Is that right, honey? No. No. My wife says, no, that's not good English. But you know what? Still like it. It gets gooder and gooder all the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the parables of Christ. Thank you for the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They're obviously not mysteries anymore because they've been revealed. And we thank you also for the rest of the things you've taught us, the rest of the scriptures that were given after you left here, given us all the letters to the church. What marvelous things we find in there as well that bless our hearts. And then for the books of prophecy, many things said by Paul, many things said by John, which open up to us things that were closed, now are open. And we're just glad for it. We rejoice in it. And how we pray that many more might be added to, oh yes, we have to admit, to the remnant. So help us as we go forth to spread the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.